Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about DEI, because DEI is a dangerous ideology that has been prevalent for several years, although thankfully it is starting, at least to some extent, to fall by the wayside. So, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called Anti-Racist Racism. Let's get started. So, DEI means Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. In isolation, all those terms sound lovely, but the truth of the matter is DEI is an Orwellian term for an ideology that is very prejudiced towards white people, and especially white men, and especially white men who are not engaged in certain fleshly pursuits, and it is very prejudiced towards Jews and, to some extent, Asians, although I would say Jews and Asians are kind of like the cats of DEI, because on the one hand, they're allowed to have their own groups on campus without everybody throwing a fit, but on the other hand, they've also been the victims of affirmative action, and in some cases, even in the case of Jews, the victims of violent riots on campus, or hatred, or threats, where administrators have looked the other way. DEI is very prejudiced against white culture, which the idea of combining all cultures of white people into one culture is completely absurd. There are many different cultures throughout Europe and even throughout America. I mean, for all the talk about American culture is not a monolith. I mean, there are certain commonalities. But even in America, you have different cultures throughout because it's such a big place. And there's so many people, some of whom have been here for hundreds of years and some of whom have been here for 50 or 10 or whatever. So the idea that America has just one culture is absurd, and I don't even think we should strive for that, because I think that, you know, different peoples should be allowed to have their own cultures and even should be allowed to have the ability to secede or to determine their own governance. But that's a topic for another day. Today we're here to talk about DEI, which I think should stand for Dangerous Exclusive Ideology, because that's what it is. And speaking of America, a lot of the DEI promoters here in America, they have one culture in particular that they reserve the best of their ire for, and that culture is Southern culture, which not only do I find that personally offensive as a Southerner, but also I think that it is very, very upsetting to have a group that claims to be anti-racist and anti-bigotry and anti-hate, but then they have one, like, culture and one area, too, the South, especially a pretty big area, too, that they reserve most of their ire for. Because at best, you could call that false advertising. I mean, if you claim to be against hate, you claim to want to stop all hate, but then you have hate in your heart, well, then you're a walking contradiction. So, there's that. And all of this being said, like, these people will claim that we live in a racist country, and to an extent there is racism here, but the racism they're talking about is not the same racism that actually exists, because they're talking about anti-black racism. But we don't really have a lot of that. I mean, there might be one or two nut jobs out there on the internet, but statistically speaking, black people are not the victims of racism here. We do have white racism. I don't think that there's enough evidence to make the claim that America is systemically racist against white people, because that is a very strong claim. That's like how I refuse to actually say that 2020 was stolen, because there's no evidence that sufficiently proves that to be the case, and those are both very extreme claims. If you're going to make an extreme claim, you need extreme evidence. It's just like you can't take somebody to court for murdering a man if you have no evidence, or if the only evidence you have is one guy that says he saw it happen. So the DEI people claim that we live in a racist country, but the kind of racism that they're talking about is very rare, if not non-existent. However, we do have racism here, and that's anti-white racism. And to some extent, anti-Semitism and anti-Asian hate. But I don't think anti-Asian hate is nearly as common as some of these people would like us to believe either. Because as I said, Asians are the cats of DEI. So if there was a widespread degree of anti-Asian, like open racism, it would be very well known. I think the main anti-Asian racism that does exist is in terms of admissions. And thankfully, when it comes to affirmative action, like, that's dead. So at least some of that has had to fall by the wayside because of the court ruling. Now, I don't think we should rely on any one central entity to make all of our decisions, but you have to give credit where it's due. And so when the court does something that is objectively good, I mean, I'm going to point out that it's good because I'm going to give credit where credit is due. And also, diversity is not something that we should look for in and of itself. You will get some level of diversity if you use merit as your criterion for selecting the best students or employees or staff, whatever. However, diversity is not something we should manufacture. Diversity in and of itself is not important. It is nice to have diversity of thought to prevent groupthink, because groupthink can lead to inefficiency and sometimes even can cause problems with, like, space missions even, although that's rarer, but, like, still a thing. But even there, I don't think that diversity of thought should be the top consideration, especially when it comes to fields such as medicine. Because let me tell you, if I ever have to get heart surgery, I'm not going to care what my doctor's political affiliations are, because my life is on the line. I'm going to care about whether he can fix my heart. I mean, I hope I never have to get heart surgery, but if I do, that's going to be my thought process. Is when lives are on the line, these somewhat more trivial things, sometimes politics can be important, but, you know, these things will fall by the wayside when lives are on the line, because lives should be the top priority. So, I don't think diversity in and of itself is a strength, and I don't think it is something that we should go for in and of itself. Because looking different or being different, contrary to the beliefs of some, being different is not the main priority in the world. There's an old saying that says, you're unique and special just like everybody else. And that's what I think about when these people blabber on about diversity. I mentioned in my episode about de-extinction that diversity that does not serve a purpose should not exist. If it doesn't serve a purpose, then it shouldn't be cultivated. So that's my thought on that. And all of this would be, you know, bad enough if it was just confined to discussions or just confined to campus life. But unfortunately, like, as I pointed out, DEI has spread to the workplace as well as admissions and as well as campus life. And I've already talked about the problems with having it in places where lives are on the line, but I think it's also worth mentioning that in general, hiring discrimination has been very common in the last few years because of DEI. I also think that there should be something in the Geneva Conventions that forbids DEI trainings at work, because that form of torture should never be permitted. I'd say the same thing about mandatory DEI classes at universities, too. And in fact, in that case, I'd say it's It's even more torturous because at least a training is usually a one-time thing, at most a week. I could be wrong on that. There might be some trainings that are longer. A class is an entire semester of having to deal with this nonsense, which we already have to deal with this nonsense on campus. I can say that from experience, as often the only vocal conservative in many of my classes, and many of my classes were, you know, politically involved some sort of politics because I was a political science major. So I had to deal with quite the bumpy ride. And I wasn't even in a DEI class. Thank goodness. And that's another little thing I'd like to mention, is when I was a crazy leftist, the DEI stuff is the first thing that kind of gave me some pause. Because I remember these racially based student organizations, you know, like Asian student organizations, Black student organizations, Latino student organizations, you know, they would all say that white people can come to our meetings, but we don't want them to speak. And I remember thinking, wait a minute. Are you saying that just because of the color of their skin, which is something they cannot control, you don't want an entire group of people to speak? And that would probably be why I never went to any of these groups' meetings, because they clearly made it known how valuable I'd be. If you want to encourage dialogue, if you want to encourage discourse, telling an entire group of people they cannot speak because of something that they cannot control is not the way to do that. And I remember also there being a lot of controversy about supposed cultural appropriation. And I will say that there are certain things like blackface that you probably should stay away from. But a lot of the examples that these people would cite were just absurd. Things like braids or scarves, which are both things that have existed in cultures all over the world, especially for women. For all these people who talk about female empowerment, they were sure picking examples that targeted women more than men. And I'm not one to harp on systemic, like, or even use the word systemic, but I'm definitely not one to harp on the plight of one group over everybody else. But I will say that, you know, if you're going to claim to be so pro-women, then you might want to not target them in all your examples of decrying them for supposedly stealing others' cultures, which the idea of stealing others' cultures, that's not really happening here. And, like, what's happening here is something that's been happening throughout all of human history, where when cultures interact, they exchange things both ways. Sometimes to their benefit, sometimes to neither their benefit nor their detriment. Sometimes to their detriment. But more often it's the other two. I am very much a promoter of, like, marketplace of ideas. I don't think that one person should own an idea or one group should own something like that. I think that, you know, when people interact, I'm not a very big globalization proponent, but I do think that when different people interact, you can't then get mad when stuff goes back and forth, so to speak. Like, that's gonna happen because that's human nature. And so, to recap, I think that diversity is not something we should go for just for its own sake. I also think that the type of diversity that I could see being of value, which would be diversity of thought, although then again, I also said that shouldn't be the top priority either, although it does exist. And you'd get some of it naturally if you went by merit. I don't think that diversity in and of itself should be sought out. But one thing I did forget to mention earlier is when it comes to the diversity of thought, you can tell these people are against it because not only because of how they act on campus and how they talk about, you know, people committing harm and violence and offending others when they disagree with them, but they especially tend to have a visceral hatred towards those who are of their favored groups, the DEI favored groups, like the Black people or Hispanics or whatever, who are against their views. I can think of two prominent examples of Black conservatives are Candace Owens and Clarence Thomas. And a lot of the DEI crowd call them like traitors to their race. It's like, you're not a traitor to your race just because you disagree with the left. That's absurd. The idea that these people can't or shouldn't think for themselves is racist and is also just hateful. And, you know, if you're going to claim to be against hate, you can't then turn around and get mad when people think for themselves and don't agree with you. And then, like, say all these nasty, mean things about them. You don't own them. You don't own these people just because they fall into your favored group. Okay? So, there's that. And then, I mentioned this topic of DEI because it's a dangerous ideology. It has seeped into our universities and our workplaces. It's especially physically dangerous when lives are on the line, but even if lives are not on the line, I don't think that DEI is something we should encourage, because I do think that we should have a truly inclusive world, a world where everybody, no matter what their skin color is, can pursue the education or the career of their dreams without having to worry about being denied just for something God gave them, i.e. their skin color. And a world where all cultures, within reason, there are some that are objectively violent or whatever, but a world where, like, within reason, we have a very broad range of cultures that are allowed. Now, that being said, I don't think we should promote false religions. There is only one religion that is the truth, and that is Christianity. The Bible is very clear on that. But I think that, you know, people should not, even then, the best example, or the best solution, my bad, for bad speech is more speech. Not shutting down speech by brute force. So, I would like to live in a world where no matter which culture you come from or which skin color you come from, you don't have to fear these people who advertise themselves as inclusive and who are really not, who really have a very narrow worldview, and a worldview that is extremely unbiblical and advocates a lot of very immoral and dangerous things, stopping you from being able to do the things that God has called you to do. So, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you'll come back next time, and you can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and the RSS feed. You can also contact us at JFSCpod on X, as well as Jesse's Fireside Chats on the Facebook page. And you can shoot us an email at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS Fireside Chats, all one word. And feel free to pass this along to anybody that might be interested. And thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed day.